And now this ball's hit hard into right field, and it is gone. Line drive home run for Rosario. And it is 3-0 Minnesota here in the first inning.
Welcome to the Exit Velocity Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Brent. As always, I'm here with the heartbroken, the miserable, the sad Jordan. How we doing?
God damn it. You didn't talk about the Packers all day until now. You saved it for that. You surprised me, actually. I thought you weren't going to talk about it. You did. You're an asshole.
But it's fine. Oh, you know I had to bring that up. Because if it was the Vikings, I would. I remember back when they lost to the Eagles and you calling us a fluke and this and that.
Anytime you guys lose, I chap your ass. But one thing I will say is if Rodgers ran on third down when they're in the red zone, instead of forcing it into double coverage, they then, if he didn't score, they would have proceeded to go for it on fourth down. So for all the haters that are blaming the coach, LaFleur, for not going for it and kicking the field goal, it's just as much Rodgers' fault as it is LaFleur's. So that's all I got. We shouldn't be giving up deep balls with seconds left going into halftime either. So moving on.
Yeah, I mean, a couple Minnesota boys made an impact. I know Tyler Johnson had that little holding that was a little
Tyler Johnson, new ballet. That's all I got to say. That little pirouette that he had there late in the game, that was cute.
No, but it should be a good Super Bowl. I mean, Tom Brady's going to go down as probably the best football player of all time now. He's going to play in his home stadium in Tampa, which is crazy because if we were down there now, I bet Orlando's just wild.
Yeah, Florida fans have actually something to cheer for now. So all their sports teams have made it to the finals.
Yeah, I was just, yeah, good point.
Miami Heat, Rays, Lightning won it. I mean, yeah. Now they have the Bucks. So.
Yeah, so.
Anyway, don't worry. Casey's going to smack them around a bit. And they're going to win their second title back to back.
The baby goat, Patty Mahomes, the baby goat.
Yeah, honestly, he's a machine.
Machine. But yeah, let's talk about some of the most recent transactions since we last talked. I know yesterday, I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't think, hate's a strong word, but I don't think I hate an organization in any sport as much as I hate the New York Yankees.
Yes. We as baseball fans, it's either you like the Yankees and that's your team, or you don't like them. And hate is often used. Yes, you're right. But I will say the Tyone deal, there's no money being thrown around there. He's now teamed up with Gerrit Cole again. They play together in Pitt. I like the transaction. I was hoping the Twins would make a move like that because I like Tyone. I think he's going to figure things out. He didn't really have the greatest of years prior to his injury, but obviously that's why he probably got hurt too. So with that being said, cheap for Tyone, right? They didn't really have to give up much. You don't have to talk about the prospects because they're no names. So all in all, you can hate the Yankees. You can continue to hate them, but this wasn't a money deal. It was basically, here's some scrubs, take them, and I want your injured starter. And that's kind of how it went down. And like us, bitter Minnesota fans, we wish we could do something like that, but we didn't. So,
yeah, I know. We say no name prospects, but I'm sure Kurlander, Eric Cross was probably already dug into some of these guys and have a whole breakdown of them. But yeah, it was four prospects for Jameson Taillon, who's coming off TJ. So his arm is probably going to be stronger than ever. A couple other transactions, that actually one that just happened today, is Adam Ottavino to the Red Sox, which is very rare. The Yankees trading to their bitter rival across town, giving up, it literally says player to be named later. So right now, nobody. So they got a piece for the Red Sox, got a piece for their bullpen. And as much as the people are hating the Red Sox, I feel like we were talking about their lineup and their pitching staff that got a guy that I know you've liked for a while.
Garrett Richards. Yeah. All in all, I feel like their hitters are solid. I wish the Twins lineup looked any sort of like that right now. I like the Kiki Hernandez transaction, and I've liked them thus far. And I think, I mean, the little snag with Garrett Richards there is key. And with Adam Ottavino now, I mean, that provides something in the bullpen. I know Chris Sale, I don't know when his return is going to be, but I know that's obviously going to also amplify their starting rotation as well.
Yeah, I'll probably be around May 2021. But yeah, their offensive lineup, people forget they got Hunter Renfroe. Like you just mentioned, Kiki Hernandez. They still got Verdugo, Bogarts, Devers, JD, which for some reason nobody likes to talk about JD anymore. He's 33 years old. All he does is DH, play a little bit of outfield. Actually, I don't know if he played any outfield in the 60 games, but he's still one of the best hitters in the game. So I think their team is going to still be competitive. They still got Erod, Nathan Eovaldi. They have Garrett Richards, our boy, Martin Perez. And they got little Nick Pivetta, I remember last year from Philly.
No one's talking about Nick Pivetta anymore, though, let's be honest. I know what is funny, though, what's going on 2 years now. There was debate if you wanted Nick Pivetta or Shane Bieber, and those were guys that were flyers. Basically, guys, people are going to reach on the drafts, and only one is relevant right now, and that isn't Nick Pivetta.
No, it isn't. It is not. But probably the biggest signing of this offseason so far, the Minnesota Twins go out and just unleash and get the machine in J.A. Happ, the flame-throwing lefty.
The flame-throwing 38-year-old. Wow. I mean, paying him $8 million too. Gotta see it. Gotta love to see it.
Yeah, that fits our... That fits our MO, I feel like. We got the – I don't even know. Actually, Rich Hill, I don't know if he is on a roster anymore. I don't think so. But, I mean, that fits. We got 40-year-old – we had 40-year-old Cruz. And we got a bunch of old guys well above 35-plus, and then we got a bunch of kids running around. So, J.A. Happ kind of fits our MO. So, we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah. I mean, it's our fourth starter. I kind of forgot about Michael Pineda, Big Mike, for a second. But I'm hoping we got something else in the toolbox to get something like to make it happen, because I feel like we're just missing one starter, and I just don't think Randy Dobnik's going to be the answer as our fifth.
Nah, the Uber driver is probably not going to be pulling through for a long season. But a couple other transactions that, I mean, they're smaller, but I feel like there's somewhat importance to them. Jason Castro goes back to Houston, which I find pretty interesting, back to his hometown. Tyler Chatwood goes to the Blue Jays. Wade Davis goes back to the Kansas City Royals. Kirby Yates, which suddenly nobody talked about him, even though he was the best reliever 2 years ago, ends up with the Blue Jays. The one that I haven't heard much about, Philadelphia Phillies got Archie Bradley, which I don't even know. I just saw that on the transactions. I did not know that till I looked. So that is kind of a big deal. But the big one, which I feel like we've talked about this, the Padres playing fantasy baseball, Joe Musgrove. I mean, all the spin rate dudes and all those guys love the guy. I think he's just eh. But he ends up going to the Padres. What do you think?
Yeah, I honestly think that's one of the bigger deals as far as increasing his value or his fantasy value with – now having win potential, right? Obviously, he had none of that in Pittsburgh. And now it's only, I mean, now he went from what, probably 12 wins max to 18 potential? What do you think?
I think Joe Musgrove is still a little bit overrated. I think he's got a lot of things to work on. I mean, I don't know what I think what is happening in San Diego is they're watching what the Rays are doing. And I think you're going to see a lot of – I put a tweet out a while ago. You're going to see a lot of 4-5-inning pitch games from starters. They're going to bring in their bullpen because I think that Lamet is going to get thrown in their bullpen. He'll be a long relief type dude. And they're going to do what the Rays do. And they're just not going to stress their starters. Starters might even, like, let's say Blake Snell's needed in an important game. He hasn't pitched in 4 days. They might throw him in as, like, little long relief. But I don't know for sure what they're going to do out in San Diego. It's going to be an interesting team for sure.
Yeah, I mean, just their starting rotation alone is just impressive, though. All the moves they've made. I love AJ Preller for all this fantasy type transaction life that he lives. Fans gonna love it too, though. I wish I could be a fan of Slam Diego. Going back to Musgrove, I typically haven't really been the biggest of fans of him. Obviously, the Astros weren't either when they shipped him to Pittsburgh, and now that he's on his going on his third team going to San Diego. Yeah, I mean, I do think that he does have more value now with win potential, but I don't know. I mean, he was kind of up and down last year. So I personally think Tyone's going to have more value when he returns, especially in the AL East pitchers typically aren't my favorite or tend to be off my radar when it comes to drafting teams. That just, I mean, I just don't like that division. They all hit dingers. So I just think that Tyone kind of has more value for me. And I was hoping that he was going to remain under the radar going to drafts, much like ours, which is happening March 13th. But now with this transaction, and now he's being talked about as a Yankee, so his value is going to increase significantly. And that sucks for a guy like me. So too bad. Too bad.
Yeah, let's give a little moment of silence to the Pittsburgh Pirates, who are probably not going to be good for the next 8 years. Their team is bad. Their prospects are bad. Everyone loves Key Brian Hayes. Yeah, he might be win Rookie of the Year. He might be good. But when you got Brian Reynolds batting cleanup and you got Gregory Polanco still batting fifth, and then the rest of these guys don't really know. And their number one starting pitcher right now, Stephen Brault. Ooh, baby, give me some of that heat.
Man, gosh. And the fact, though, is that they traded Bell as well, and they got nothing. So, like, all these deals they've made, they have nothing to show for it. And nothing. Probably one of my biggest misses, I think, like I mentioned this to somebody recently, is that Gregory Polanco, I know he has that swing that I thought was similar to Griffey, but, gosh, he's not good. And yeah, he's up there with one of my – so him and Benintendi are probably my biggest misses in fantasy.
I feel like Benintendi could still do something. I mean, he had a bunch of good years. Gregory Polanco, though, yeah, that's a miss. That's swing.
That's a rough one.
But, God, these Pirates, their stadium is so beautiful. The city loves the Pirates, and this is what they give them. They're like, you know what? Our three best players, we don't want them anymore. We're just going to give them away.
That's just it, though, right? Like, they already messed up with Glasnow. They're already in a hole there. Those three players that they did move in recent weeks, well, Josh Bell's much later, but those guys aren't winning them anything anyway. So, but really, though, you'd hope that they would have some prospects in return. None of them were top 100 prospects in baseball. That's sad.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. It's going to be a long couple of years in Pittsburgh. But let's go over to, I know last week we talked about the ESPN rankings, some Fantrax rankings. CBS's rankings, we got the top 50, and then we got the Dynasty top 50 pulled up. And I know your boy that you had, and all you talk about, and you love, and you have the fever for the Bieber, is ranked sixth, the number one pitcher. How do you feel about that?
Which one are we looking at? Are we looking at the top 150 Dynasty ranks with Scott White?
Yep.
Yeah. You actually, I don't know if you're pulling a fast one, just being a smartass, or you actually didn't know I had him on my team. Regardless, you're an ass for that. But I really gave up a lot. I mean, I gave up Shane Bieber, but I thought I got a decent haul in return. And given.
What was the haul? Empty, what was the haul?
It doesn't matter because I came up empty. It doesn't matter. It's a loss. It's an L. And the only thing I'm keeping from that whole deal is Luis Castillo. And I haven't been the biggest Luis Castillo fan, given I liked him last year and the year before.
He's got the best two-seamer in baseball. That's it.
I don't know. Shane Bieber would obviously be better, but I do have my boy Giolito still in the squad, and I'm going to figure it out. So be on the watch.
I feel like a topic of discussion should be the shortstop position is probably the deepest position in baseball by a lot. I mean, my goodness, it's funny because I remember not long ago when Carlos Correa was the number one ranked shortstop and everyone's like, oh my God, shortstop's so ratchet. And now you got guys, so many guys in the top 10. But one little little debate I want to have is CBS got Fernando Tatis as number one. But you scroll down a little bit, and at number eight, a guy that I feel like doesn't get enough love. But then again, I kind of like this team. I like their players. Trevor Story. What, I mean, he's going to do, I think he'll do just as much as Tatis for a cheaper price. What do you think?
I definitely like Story. I always have. I know we talked, went back and forth, homie and I in our league chat about Yelich and Story. And even in these rankings, they're pretty neck and neck, both 8th and 10th. But yeah, I like Story. I like where he plays. I like the fact that he can stay on the field. He's 28 years old. He's probably not going to run as much as time goes on. Whereas Tatis, being just 22, has that steal upside. But the guy is reckless defensively. I do think that injuries will continue to occur and affect his time on the field. But again, we can talk about injuries, and that's what sucks, because like, we can have debates about other guys. As far as all-out talent, it's Tatis. No question. It's just a matter of him actually being on the field and delivering and potentially playing 162, and I just don't see that. But here we are talking about one or the other, and I would say safest as far as, being in the league longer and playing. I mean, yeah, I don't know. You could have an argument for either or. Mm-hmm. And I could go against the grain and debate with you and go against the fact that you say Story and I can say Tatis and I can have my argument too. There's a guy also that we're not talking about, and that's Trey Turner. And that's one guy I definitely do not get invested in, due to the fact that he's always broken, always hurt. Still potential of Ricky Henderson, but he can't remain on the field to provide those type of numbers. So that's another guy that should be in this consideration as well, just because he's always ranked really high, and I'm never looking at him. Given the league that we care most about, he's never available because he's always kept, which does me a favor. But again, never a guy that I want to target. So, yeah, what do you think about Trey Turner? Let's talk about him while we're on this shortstop topic.
No Trey Turner for me. No Turner. I would take Story time over him. I would take Lindor over him. I would keep on going. I don't like Trey Turner. He gets his steals. Great. So does Trevor Story. And Trevor Story hits almost 40 dingers and drives in 100-plus and bats almost 300 and gets a 900-plus OPS. I don't like Trey Turner. Like you said, he can't stay on the field. Usually guys that run that insanely, Byron Buxton, never stay on the field. And I feel here's something I was just thinking, because we don't go off no script. We're just kind of doing our show, go with the flow. But think of Ronald Acuna and Fernando Tatis. They turned out for the Braves. In 2015, a guy, I know you didn't want to talk about the Twins too much, but a guy, he was getting comped to Mike Trout, Byron Buxton. Like, it's just so frustrating because I see all these young studs up here and I'm like, this is who Buxton was supposed to be. And think of the Twins organization with a top player. Like, if Buxton was something like this, like, what, where would we be?
Yeah, well, that's just the Minnesota luck. That's what I call it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Speechless, really. I just hate talking about it. While we're talking about these top tier guys, and you brought up Ronald Acuna, and we're talking about Fernando Tatis, Juan Soto. So if you're starting a dynasty league right now, these guys are all there. You have a top five pick or top three pick, and maybe even first overall. What's one guy you want right now that you would even trade up for? Or your team you think that you can't do without? Who's that guy?
Out of those three?
No, you can. Honestly, you can have the whole league. I'm just telling, like, who's that one guy that you would want to build your dynasty team around? And for the world to know, Brent, who's that guy for you?
Ronald Acuna. Yeah. He's going to be a superstar. As long as he's got help in Atlanta with like Freddie Freeman and stuff like that and teaching him the ways, he's going to be a stud. But I mean, I would still, like, if it was a year-to-year league, not a dynasty league, Mike Trout. Can't go wrong with Mike Trout. Plus, he's got Anthony Rendon now. That's a nice little team in L.A.
Yeah, I like that.
But, yeah, I mean, Mike Trout's fallen in almost all leagues. He's going 4 or 5 now because everyone likes youth, and that's like the next wave of baseball. But speaking of baseball, the Cactus League in Arizona came out today and said, hey, baseball, we want you to delay the season because COVID is still bad out here. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know my thoughts and how the game of baseball is naturally a socially distanced game that's played. The only time that there is any effect is when they're in the dugout and chatting with masks on. The wrestlers are wrestling right now, right? Like basketball players are just bumping uglies and just doing basketball thing, and like that's fine. Mm-hmm. But baseball, the game that's played outside, the game that is played. Like, it's exhausting because then you just know we're obviously not going to be able to attend spring training games if that's the case, if that's what they're already talking about. And our team, I feel like, is not, I mean, with the revenue potential fading already like that for spring training and games potentially not being attended again, it's not good. It's exhausting. Hopefully the vaccine helps. I don't really want to talk about anything about that virus, though. Let's only talk about baseball today. But I guess we'll see what happens. I would hate to have anything delayed because all other sports seem to figure it out. And here's baseball just like tiptoeing in the water. I don't know what we have for a commissioner, but he calls the trophy what, some piece of metal? It's annoying, and that's why the game will remain where it is, probably number what, 3 or 4 in the ranks of popularity,
even lower.
Hockey, soccer. Now it's not that low though, because I mean, given the older generations are the biggest fans of baseball, and the youngest of generations don't even really know the game. So I know that's kind of why we even started a damn podcast, was to get the younger kids involved, but they just don't care. They don't have, we don't like we as people just like don't have patience. So to like watch games and like, I mean, especially if you can't be at the game, because that's probably why people even were fans, to like eat hot dogs and not pay attention. Mm-hmm. And like, if you can't do that, they're not going to watch on TV. I mean, I like to take a nap every once in a while from the 4th to the 7th inning. So, I like baseball on a Sunday afternoon. Wake up and get and watch the rest of the game when it's good. That's an ideal Sunday in the summer for me. But I guess we'll see. But here we are, just talking about baseball and the players that we love and the game that we love.
Yeah, it's definitely frustrating, especially when like college sports even can figure it out. That's what really gets me, because these kids are all in confined spaces. I mean, they're all going back to school, they're all there, and baseball, it's just like you said, it's a naturally socially distanced game, and it just doesn't make sense to me that they can't figure it out. I mean, the NBA, everyone's figured it out but baseball. And if baseball starts late, I'm telling you, I think baseball could start losing TV deals for doing all this. And I mean, I think it could just start going in a bad, bad place, because I mean, they're not playing games, they're not making money because the games aren't on the TV. And I don't know, it's just, it's frustrating, because it's like, I mean, it's one, I think it's the greatest sport on earth. I mean, my favorite thing to do, which I haven't done, we haven't done in 2 years, which honestly, it's affected me, is going to the ballpark. Like, that's like the highlight of the year, just going to baseball games and just watching the game, drinking a beer in the sunshine. You can't beat it.
No, exactly. Like, we have like a running tally of ballparks that we visit to. And I mean, time goes on, man. Tomorrow's not obviously guaranteed. So the days are numbered. And when you think about like the experiences and obviously not being able to experience them like we used to be. It just sucks. But anyways, on a lighter note, let's carry on.
Will do. So this will definitely flip the script right here. One guy I want to talk about. I was hoping to get him on the podcast when we had that little stretch of where I just had so much damn time. I just had all these guests on and did this. But one guy wanted to get on, but he never – not his agent, but somebody in his little clique responded. I was so close. But Trevor Bauer, what is this guy going to run himself to pretty much get nothing? Or do you really think he's going to get like some six-year, $200 million contract?
I think he's going to probably get a four-year deal. I think he's expecting six. But this isn't the year for a long contract. This isn't the year that, like, Gerrit Cole cashed in at just the right time. And it's all money right now. So it's all going to be affected by that. And obviously, the lack of revenue last season and what this season is kind of unfolding like so far, you just don't know. I just know the market's got to be fat, though, for everyone that's starting pitching. It's the biggest demand. Everyone can use more of it. Guys, like, I feel like the teams, I don't need to talk about our team all the time, but the Twins would be a suitor for a long-term deal, because that would make sense for us. Mm-hmm. Because we don't really have a top-end ace that's younger and has a longer contract like we could with Bauer. And he already is familiar with AL Central, and I think that's appealing to us. But again, anybody like the Dodgers, Mets, they could all be a player. I just don't know if those guys are going to be the teams that lock them in long term. I just think like the longer deal, I don't know. I just don't really know how to word that, but I don't think that those high end contenders that have all the coin are going to really spend for a long term deal with him. I feel like whatever he gets with a contender will only be a short term deal. If that makes sense. Does that make sense? That had to make give sense me, to me.
Yeah, give me your three teams then. Give me three teams that you think he will go to.
Mets, and I don't even know what their budget is right now after all these transactions that they made this offseason. The Dodgers and the dark horse catalyst that is the Minnesota Twins will just be forever on my list because we haven't done jack this offseason. AJ Happ is not going to win us the AL Central. You know who is? The White Sox. So if we continue to just hop, skip around and enjoy the cold weather and don't do anything, that's what we're going to end up like. But yeah, that's just because of a wish. It's more of a wish. Let's be realistic. Okay. The third team I have on my list is
dun, 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 dun.
Cardinals.
Ooh, him and Jack. Jackie time. Jack Flaherty.
That's just very random. But you know what? Who can predict where he's gonna sign? Because he's the biggest wild card of any free agent pitcher we know in recent. So. Who are your three candidates for Bauer's talents?
I think you will find this interesting. I'm going to start off with my number one team. Financials, I don't know for sure, but the number one team that I think he's going to sneak into and go to, the Atlanta Braves. I think that fits him. Hot Atlanta. And they got Max Fried, Charlie Morton. They need another pitcher. After those two, you got Ian Anderson. He hasn't proven himself. Drew Smiley. I mean, crap. He could have a 7 ERA by the second week of the season. But I think the Atlanta Braves, because their offense is ready to win, they need to get some pitching. That's my number one team. My number two team is I don't know about the LA Angels financial situation either with getting Rendon, but I think he would fit in nicely with the Angels to help Trout, Anthony Rendon, like get that team going. And my last team, which he hates, but I think that I know they have the financial stability, is the Houston Astros. They still got players on offense. They still got Brantley came back. They got Bregman. They got Altuve. They got Correa. They need some pitching, though.
The trash can heroes. Yeah, it could be. It could be the. It could be the Astros. You never know. That's just the thing. Like, we could talk about. Like, no one actually knows, but. Yeah. Be curious to see him. I don't. Let's. The bigger guess is when he ever is going to sign.
Yeah.
And because that's. That could last all spring training long. Could sit out, because that's the kind of thing too. Is like, if he doesn't get what he wants, he's gonna wait and wait and wait, and then he's not gonna be ready for spring training. He might even not complete spring training, but he'll do all these exercises in his own time and say that he's ready, and then that's just how he's gonna live his life. He's just gonna be showing up, signing a deal, and ready to pitch. That's the Bauer way.
Yeah, that's Trevor Bauer for you. But I'll never forget when we went to Cleveland and we were watching him warm up in the bullpen, and all those kids were standing there. All the kids were standing there yelling, "Hey, Trevor, throw the ball up!" He throws a ball up. I reach over and snatch that baby. So we got a Trevor Bauer bullpen ball in the house.
Yeah, he stole it from a child. Good child.
Oh, that right. I'll never forget that. That was fun, though. I mean, he's warming up. Yeah. Who else was in the outfield? We were talking to, like, Alex Colome and a bunch of those guys yelling at him. I'll never forget, though. We told him to, like, get a better.
Wasn't it White Sox Indians?
Yep, it was White Sox Indians. And then we were talking to Colome, like, we were telling him he's got to get this pitch going. And he added that pitch to his arsenal, and he ends up being one of the better relievers in the AL Central. So I find that kind of funny, too. But you got anything else that you want to talk about?
No. How much time we got right now?
We're at 32 minutes.
Sweet. Let's talk about starters. So we've already talked about quite a bit of them. Let's go into some ranks. We're already on CBS. So we kind of picked apart Tristan's ranks on ESPN this past week. Let's go into what we think about Scott White and what he's got going on CBS, and we can critique it a bit. What do you think?
I think Trevor Bauer is way too high at 14. I mean, the second pitcher, it goes Shane Bieber, then it goes Garrett Cole, then it goes Trevor Bauer. So I don't know what's going on there, but.
But DeGrom, we talked about this last week. He's underrated.
Yeah, still. And he's still one of the best pitchers in the game. And then you got Aaron Nola's at 16. Giolito's at 17. But my boy at Jack Flaherty's still at 23. I think he's underrated. So is Walker Buehler.
Walker Buehler. What did you rank him, like, number one?
Yeah, he's my number one dynasty pitcher still. Jack Flaherty's like number three or four. Okay. I don't know. I just think, no. I mean, everyone's taking a lot out of this little 60-game stretch. I think that was kind of a little fluky year. I mean, 60 games is literally a third of baseball. Like, think of, like, players, like, remember back in 2015, where Chris Davis and Carlos Gonzalez had 28 home runs in the second half of baseball, and Chris Davis had, like, 27 or something like that. Like, I mean, that's insane. And we only saw 60 games.
For everybody out there, those both remain your boys and will be on your roster at some point in any given season.
Yeah, they did carry me to the championship game, so I can't complain.
When we're talking about, so a guy like Blake Snell, where do you see him in San Diego? I know that you seem like the whole bullpen game in Tampa is going to translate to San Diego. I don't know if many listeners will agree with that, but where do you see him and how effective do you think he's going to be in 2021?
All I can picture is going to games pitched in 2021, five innings, seven strikeouts, two runs, five innings, seven strikeouts, two runs. That's going to be a game for Blake Snell. Five innings. 5.2 innings. So if you have a quality start league, I think Blake Snell's going to be completely, he ain't getting you no quality starts. It's going to be 5.1, 5.2. He gets a hit up or two, pulled. I just think that's, I don't know how good Blake Snell is. I know Blake Snell. I know Yancey Eaton loves him and whatnot, and all those guys, a lot of Tampa guys love him, but I don't know if he's that good.
Yeah. Personally, like, he was the kind of guy that I could have kept or held on to and considered keeping based on his previous successes, Cy Young year, yada, yada, yada. But he's a guy that I just don't know. I think he just pitches, throws the ball so many damn times. His pitch count's like in the 80s in like the fourth inning every damn week, I feel like. If he gets in the fifth inning and successively pitches the whole thing, it's a success.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's scary. Like, I like effective, efficient pitchers.
Blake Snell is Jake Odorizzi with better spin rate. I mean, shit, he is. He's Jake Odorizzi with a better curveball. But yeah, Jake Odorizzi is, I mean, he got four innings pitched. He's got 80 pitches thrown and giving up two runs, four walks. I mean, that's what Blake Snell is. He has a better curveball. He throws a ton of pitches. He strikes more guys out. That's the only difference, I feel like. And they're both from Tampa.
Ironically, yeah, the same team in Tampa Bay. And it just so happens that this one throws from the left, one throws from the right. Yeah, interesting. I just not a Blake Snell guy. I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Come up and slowly faded ever since. But moving on. So let's talk about Cookie, because Carrasco is a guy that I thought was relatively cheap in going to the Mets. He was kind of more of this like a shoe-in. I don't really know how the Mets fans would agree with me there, could debate or argue, whatever. But I just don't think – I mean, he's still projected as like a top 20 pitcher. Given like 33, 34 years old, what do you think of Cookie? Do you think he has any upside? Do you like him in a Mets uniform?
Yeah, in a full season, I could see him doing something like 170 innings – like a 3.6 ERA with maybe 190 strikeouts and like a 1.2 whip, something like that with like a K9. I mean, that'd be like a 10.5 or something. But I could see him doing like having a nice season, but he's not a top 20 pitcher. He's probably like between 25 and 35. But I mean, you still got like guys like Clayton Kershaw, who's still only 33, ranked 76 here. Max Scherzer, 75 on his ranking. He's 36. I mean, there's a lot of decent pitchers in the game. So I still think, I don't know, Cookie's been, well, he had that health issue, and then he had other problems. But it's just good he's good. He's good. It's good he's playing again. But that's like my prediction in a full season.
Yeah. That's just one guy, too. Like, you just don't really know. It's obviously just great to see him on the field again. But not really sure how well he's going to perform or if it's going to be for the full length of the season either. So you never know.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at guys later, like guys I've never really been a fan of, but I've continued to roster them from time to time. One guy, local product.
Julio Teheran.
No, gross. Gosh, you always bring up the scrubs. Just kidding. But Jose Barrios, I think, I don't even know honestly why I'm talking about him, because I'm just going to get my hopes up. But I do think he's doing something this offseason as far as like bulking up. The guy is huge. If you see recent photos of him, he is putting in some effort. And I don't know, I'm not 100% sure if this is contract year, and shame on me for not knowing that off the top of my head. But the guy is going to perform this year. And I think with him slotted in, hopefully the third position in our rotation, barring that we actually get an ace, he will deliver. I feel like less stress, less pressure on his shoulders. He will provide some statistics that we have been yearning to see. So that's one guy late that he's currently in the CBS ranks going just around SP30. Ooh. So right around that area. That's one guy that I just think that has some upside late, and he's still young. So again, could just not deliver, because why would he? He's a Minnesota Twins prospect back in the day. But again, I think there is something there. And my cousin would agree with me. We were talking about this earlier this past week. It could happen. This could be the year of Jose Barrios. And I would love to see it. And he's going cheap right now. Who do you think?
Yeah, I know we've talked to a lot of guys last year too, and everyone just thinks Berríos is just a number three. And I mean, on MLB The Show, I've been playing that game lately again. He's not good on there. He's like an 80 overall, and that slurve he has on that game is horseshit. It is so bad. But I mean, if he's bulking up, he's probably working with Javi Baez, his brother-in-law, I believe. So he's working with Baez. I mean, who knows? He could break through. But yeah, that's Scott White. His rankings are very interesting. He has Dominic Smith over Jose Abreu, who just won the MVP. And then he also got right here, it's a little stretch that I was very interested in. From 96 to 100, he's got Jose Altuve at 96, Kyle Hendricks at 97, Zach Wheeler at 98, Sonny Gray at 99, and Anthony Rizzo at 100. And if you scroll above that, there is a lot of random guys that are above them. Like Framber Valdez at 71, who's ahead of Jose Berríos. So Scott White, you got a lot of explaining to do. Ian Anderson at 66.
That's No, I think what you're looking at, though, is the dynasty ranks. So the age plays a factor.
Yeah, but still, I mean, come on. Those guys ain't that old. Like Berríos is what, 28?
27, I think, 26.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like people try to get too fancy in these rankings, and then a lot of stuff bites them.
I just partially got offended from the Sonny Gray ranking, but I was like, oh, it's probably a dynasty, and he's like 31 now. So
still, like, he doesn't have that many innings on his arm for a guy.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know.
Pitchers, man, they can come out of nowhere, just like relievers. I personally wouldn't pay. I'm glad we didn't get Brad Hand for $10.5 million. That's a lot of money.
I would have took him for $10.5 million.
No.
It's better than what we got.
Dude, he was so shaky last year to start the year. And dude, given it was 60-game slate, so just imagine, like, unleashed Brad Hand and that's what you get.
Didn't
gross.
He lead the league in saves or some jizz-jazz?
Not sure, bud. I don't think so.
I think he did. He was like top five or something. I'm telling you right now, go look. I bet he was. Like he was good last year. Like oh my gosh, he's a Minnesota boy. How fun would that have been?
Yeah. And last week alone, I was like, yeah, we should get Brad Hand, Minnesota man. But then I was realizing, I'm like, no, that's relievers can come out of anywhere and they can be a hell of a lot cheaper than 10.5 million. We're paying J.A. Happ 8 mil. We can't afford Brad Hand at 10.
Wow. I just looked up MLB stat leaders for 2020 saves. Brad Hand was number one with 16 saves. Number two was Liam Hendricks with the Oakland A's, who got signed for 4 years. What, 50 or 60 mil? Give me the hand job.
Oh, gosh. Go for it. I don't like it.
16 saves. I knew he was up there. Led the league with 16 saves last year. Oh,
yeah, a lot, isn't it, though? 60 games, 16 saves. Wow.
Well, but the way everybody else takes these 60 games might be like, oh, my God, Brad Hand's the best damn closer in the game. Like all these random guys do good, and they're like, oh, my God, keep Brian Hayes. You need to pick him up over Nolan Arenado now. Like, I mean, everyone got so crazy in those 60 games. So if that's what we're doing,
Brad Hayes. But looking at ranks, I guess it doesn't matter now because he's on the Nationals. That just affects all guys that drafted before he got signed, because Rainey was probably being drafted high and whoever else is in the pen for the Nationals, because now they have little to no value.
Brad Hand's a closer. Just like that.
That's why you wait to draft, folks. Mm-hmm. I know. The itch is there early and you want to draft, but these signings, screw you. They didn't screw me. You know why? Because I don't have any other leagues, and ours isn't until another month.
Yeah, because we got kicked out of our own league. How fun is that?
That is kind of funny. But that's all right. It's okay.
But there it is. We're at 45 minutes. Let's wrap her up. Chalk it up.